The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to This Week in Modified Country. Today's guest is Shane Andrews, the new voice of the Canandaigua Motorsports Park. We'll talk with Shane next here on This Week in Modified Country. The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Hi, this is Jerry Higbee. You're listening to This Week in Modified Country with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to This Week in Modified Country here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Our guest is a very familiar voice to thousands of Northeast Modified fans, whether it's on television with Speed or at the Syracuse Fairgrounds for Super Dirt Week, or as he will be on the mic this year during the 49th season of the Canandaigua Motorsports Park. Our good friend Shane Andrews joins us. Shane, always a pleasure.
Sean, good evening. Great to be on. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Doing fantastic here tonight, and I hope you and your listeners are doing fantastic as well.
Well, we are. It's modified racing season, already a couple races into this year so far. But let's first talk about your new gig, the microphone for you. Something that you have taken to naturally over the many years that you've been at the mic. Canandaigua, a new stomping grounds for you. What's the excitement like, and what are you feeling heading into the opener on April the 7th?
Oh, I'm excited. I've had the opportunity to announce at Canandaigua in years past for special events, be it the Super Dirt Car Series or filling in on a regular Saturday night for the track announcer that was there and he needed a night off or had something going on. And I've even worked a World of Outlaw late models and a World of Outlaws sprint car show there in the past. So no stranger to the land of legends, but this year will be a little bit different for me as I will be there on a weekly basis as the track announcer. And I'm excited. It's a new venture for me. Not so much being a track announcer, but the venue, obviously. As I've never been the voice of that facility on a regular basis, so that is new. And looking forward to getting to know the drivers, the crew members, the car owners in all divisions, race fans. Some of them know me and have heard me at different tracks. Some of them have not, so we're going to have to take a little time to get used to one another. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm excited to be there with Jeremy and Lori Corcoran, who are the promoters of the Speedway, a long-time relationship with them, and really, really excited to be there for this year.
And, of course, their season kicks off with the first race of the 2012 Super Dirt Series, and that should be a very interesting day with other races going on throughout the state of New York. The fact that Matt Shepard is the defending Super Dirt Car Series champion and the defending Big Block Modified champion of Canandaigua. What was your take on how things went and how things ended up with Shepard coming out on top by 15 points over Billy Decker in last year's Super Dirt Car Series championship?
Well, it was a great year, you know, for Matt Shepard, driver of the Jeff Brownell owned Extreme Lubricants number 9S. You know, he had four wins, he had nine top fives, and he had 12 top tens on the year. Impressive stats, and he was consistent each and every race. Every time he hit the track, he was the car to beat. And, you know, his worst finish on the series was a 29th at Syracuse. And that's impressive. I mean, when you look at his stats for 2011, consistency is key. When you're in the top 10, every race, you're going to win championships. And, you know, four wins doesn't hurt. And really, the turnaround for him, that you really knew it was his season and that he was going to be the one that they were chasing after, was when we went to Drummond, Quebec, for I think it was race number 10 of the season. And he started 12th on the grid, and he came up through that field like a hot knife through butter, and he ended up winning that race by a healthy margin in the 100 laps. And he got out of that car, and he's won there, but he lost one there during the summer, one that got away from him that he faded. And that race really proved that Matt Sheppard was the guy to beat for 2011.
And, of course, the drama unfolded live on national television on Speed, not only with that, but also with the role of I can talk today, folks. It's that Waskawy Wabbit. Always pops up when you never expect them to.
I think that W you're looking for is the World of Outlaws late model series down at the World Finals.
That's exactly the W I was looking for.
Yeah, and it did unfold down there with the late models. Matt Sheppard and Billy Decker had a tremendous battle. You know, going into the last night and Saturday night of the World Finals, Decker had to win the race, and Sheppard had to finish fourth or worse in order for Decker to claim the title. But that wasn't the case, as it worked out, as Tim McCree won the race, and Matt Sheppard was right there with him, not too far behind, and he finished ahead of Billy Decker. And then, of course, the World of Outlaws late model series, the late model race came down to Rick Eckert and Josh Richards, and Richards had the points championship locked up going into turn number two on the final lap, but then had a tire go down from an earlier altercation in the race, and Rick Eckert got by him and ended up winning the title, and pandemonium in victory lane and on the track afterwards. It was quite a spectacle to see, and I've had the opportunity to get to know both Josh Richards and his dad, Mark, and I've also had the opportunity to get to know Rick Eckert, his wife, Crystal, and their daughter Courtney. And you know, it's one of those deals where you hate to see somebody lose, because they're good people, they're competitive people, but it was Rick Eckert's year, and you just had to be happy for Rick Eckert, and I was happy for Rick Eckert and his whole family and his race team. A long time coming and well-deserved championship. Couldn't be happier for him.
And of course, Rick Eckert from York, Pennsylvania, getting his start at Sillins Grove Speedway, where he raced late models in his early days. So a lot of fans around here know the name. And matter of fact, Rick picking up a win at Sillins Grove Speedway last year. We're talking with our good friend Shane Andrews, who will be behind the mic this year at the Land of Legends Canandaigua Motorsports Park. Also behind the mic doing the Super Dirt Series tour on the web. Television is coming up. But I have to ask, how's the guy that has an agricultural business degree from Sonny Cobleskill become a track announcer?
It's a long story, but I'll give you the condensed version.
Oh, we got time, Shane. We got plenty of time.
I was actually, before I even went to college, back when I was in high school, I was interested in motorsports. My brother had a mid-state antique stock car club. He had a 1937 Harry Pate Pontiac coupe that he took around to the local racetracks here in central New York with the mid-state antique club, and went with him all over the place. And I had my degree is in agricultural business, but it's a business degree, but just with an agricultural spin, talking about wheat and corn more so than anything else, but it's applied to business. But anyways, I was big in the FFA, the Future Farmers of America, as it was known at the time. I was into public speaking. When I wasn't playing sports at high school, I was doing the public address announcing there. And one day, lo and behold, in, I want to say it was 1987, 1988, we were at the Madison County Fairgrounds in Brookfield, New York. And I know everybody knows where that is. It's a big metropolis. They don't even have a stoplight there. And we were there with the Mid-State Club for one of the local gatherings, and I always wanted to try announcing a race. And So my brother introduced me to Carl Carpenter, who was the president of the Mid-State Antique Club, and introduced me and said, I've always wanted to try announcing. And he says, well, I have an announcer for tonight, but if we ever need one, I'll keep you in mind. Well, about an hour, maybe an hour and a half later, Carl comes strolling over to the pit, and he says, hey, my announcer isn't going to show tonight. You still interested? And that was my first night behind the microphone doing an actual race, and it just progressed from there. I toured with the Mid-State Vintage Stock Car Club for a long time, a couple years, and then finally got my first break working at a racetrack in 1993, the Skyline Raceway in Blodgett Mills, New York, just outside of Cortland, Frank and Audrey Thames track, and just progressed from there. And, you know, it's one of those things, something that I always wanted to do, and met up with the right people, got hooked up with the right people, and the right opportunities came along at the right time, and here I am.
That's pretty interesting. It's always neat to hear how guys get into the sport and get into the business of announcing, because it is one that you don't just walk up and say, I want to announce. you do have to meet the right people. You have to tell them that you're interested in, and you sort of do have to wait your turn. But in your case, there is something that it just turned out that, hey, you were talking to the guy. Next thing you know, you're on the microphone, and here you are all these years later still going on. So what year is this actually now for you, Shane, being behind the microphone announcing auto racing?
Oh, boy, let me see here. I've got to get out my calculator. it's 2012, right?
I think so.
This would actually be, if you counted, you know, my years with the Mid-State Antique Stock Car Club before I got into an actual track and everything, mm-hmm. This would actually be my 24th year.
24th.
Yeah,
that's pretty neat. And you mentioned the 37.
And I'm 40. So okay. I've been doing this for most of my life.
I'll remember you
know,
that, Shane.
I know. I don't look 40. You know, I don't look a day over 62. But hey, you know,
throw about 50 pounds of muscles on you, and we have the next Mr. Clean.
Well, you know something, if the gig paid well, I'd even get my ear pierced.
There you go. Shane and I were talking off the air before we came on that I'm actually older than Shane, and neither of us realize that, because neither of us do look our age at all. Sometimes I guess we don't act our age, but that's okay. You have that inner child in you with the inner childlike faith. That's fine to have.
But you have to when you're an announcer, you know. Jim King, who we both worked with and under,
yep.
You know, at the Fonda Speedway and various tracks in the Northeast, you know, he gave me the best advice. He gave me the best advice ever. He gave me three things. He said, number one, enjoy what you're doing. Number two, don't be afraid to make an ass of yourself. Number three, remember, there's always people out there that know more than you do.
Right.
And that doesn't apply just to announcing. It applies for everything in life. And, you know, we've got to be serious at times. Yes, there's a time where we have to, you know, we have to take the bull by the horns and put the nose to the grindstone and all those other adjectives and sayings. That means we've got to be serious. But let's remember, racing is entertainment. People come there to be entertained. It doesn't matter what level it is. If it's NASCAR, ARCA, dirt, anything along those lines, people want to be entertained. And an announcer is, we're the master of ceremonies. We're like the ringleader at a circus. We've got to facilitate everything. We're the ones that bring the people into the show, and we bring the drivers and the crews and the owners into those people's lives and the sponsors and everything. There's so much we have to do, but we're the facilitators of that. And that's what separates the good announcers from the bad announcers. You know, anybody can call a great race, but you know something? 98% of the people that are there at the racetrack can't hear you call the race anyway.
True.
where an announcer earns his money is when the cars aren't racing. And that's what separates the good announcers from the bad announcers.
And I think
so. If there's any future announcers listening, if there's any advice that I can give anybody, you can call a great race, okay? You can call the best race in the world, but the majority of the people aren't going to hear it unless they're in the VIP rooms or if they're going to buy the tape afterwards. Where you're going to make yourself a star is what you do when the cars aren't running.
And I think the other thing to being a great announcer is you also have to be in rhythm with the race. And on nights when there's cautions after cautions after cautions, it goes back to exactly what you just said. It's what you're saying in between when they can hear you. That's one of the keys. The other thing I can throw in from my late mentor, Bill Singer, who was the longtime voice of the late, great Flemington Fair Speedway, your style is your ticket. And you have that conversation just like we're having a conversation now. You're a conversationalist. It's one-on-one with the person on the other end, whether it's on the phone or in a studio setting. It's a one-on-one conversation, and that is the key. And once they get to know that you care about them and you care about the place, that's when they get to really appreciate what it is you do. Speaking of giving advice, how much time, how much preparation time do you put in during the week for whatever, whether it's the Super Dirt Series webcast, whether it's going to be doing television, or in this case, back to a weekly track? How much time of preparation do you put in on top of your weekly job that you have?
A lot. You know, we know that racers spend a lot of time in the garage working on their race cars, fine-tuning, doing everything they can, whether it's after a crash or, you know, just the regular maintenance that they do on their race cars to get it ready for the show. I spend a lot of my evenings. I try to take a couple of nights a week, and I spend right on the computer. One of the things I do for the Super Dirt Series, and also for when I work a regular speedway, when I work a speedway on a regular basis, is I keep my own notes. I keep my own statistics. I'm a numbers guy. I like to be able to throw something out there that's a little bit obscure that somebody may not know about, whether it's a finish of a race earlier in the season or from years past, or something about that particular person that somebody may not know about, because that's where the story is. The stories are in the pits. And I can sit in my front of my computer and put all the notes together, but in order to get those notes, you got to be going around the pit area and talking to the drivers. There's, if you take five divisions at each track, and each division has 25 cars in it, okay, you're looking at 125 cars in the pits. So that means that you have 125 stories to tell about all those different drivers. Now, you can't get to each and every one of them every week, which is a given, but the best thing to do is take the time to get around, at least to talk to them, and, you know, and try to talk to them and find out something about them. They might bring four guys in the pits with them, but they might also bring 10 people in the grandstand. And those 10 people in the grandstand want to hear something about that guy. We're always going to talk to the winners. We're always going to talk to the guy that finishes second or third, the podium finishers. But it's the guys that's running back there in 22nd, 23rd, and 24th that are putting just as much time and effort in their cars that you got to talk about. So that's where the homework comes in. You really got to prepare. And that's just on a weekly, regular track. And then on the weeks that I know leading up to when I have to do a TV show, oh my gosh, the amount of preparation that I do, I probably over-prepare too much. And it's better to over-prepare than to under-prepare. So a lot of time goes into it, and it has to. If you want it to be right, you want it to come across right, you want to sound intelligent and know what you're talking about, you have to be prepared, and you got to put the time into it.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. We're talking with our good friend Shane Andrews, the new voice of the Canandaigua Motorsport Park, as well as doing television and the voice of the Super Dirt Car Series. Your thoughts on 2012 for the Super Dirt Car Series? Who might be the preseason favorite for championship, and is there a dark horse out there this year?
I think the preseason favorite is Matt Shepard. Two series championships in a row. He's obviously the hands down favorite coming into 2012. Drivers that I think that are going to give him a run for his money: Jimmy Phelps. I think you're going to see him in that number 98 HBR car, give him a run for his money. Brett Hearn. You can't count Brett Hearn out, no matter what. Brett Hearn is going to be prepared. He's going to be ready to go. And those are the guys that I think are really going to give him fits this year on the tour. So those three guys would be my three guys. A dark horse, I think you have to take a look at a guy by the name of Dale Plank. Dale's a very, very good racer, and if Dale can get some solid finishes and some consistency underneath him, you know, he knows what it takes to win championships. He's done it before, not only on the local level, but also with the regional NASCAR, the former NASCAR Winston Racing Series. He knows what it takes to win championships. So he would be my dark horse this year. And of course, the guy that's going to come in and he's going to be moonlighting here and there, depending on his outlaw schedule, Tim McCready. I think he's another guy that could really make some noise. Will he be points chasing for the series? Probably not. But he's a guy that can come in and really shake things up if he bags a couple of top fives and some wins. And, of course, you always got the Dr. Danny Johnson, one of the most exciting guys to watch behind the wheel of a big block modified.
Thanks so much for joining us here. And, folks, at Canandaigua, if you're a fan of Canandaigua, if you're a regular at the track Legends, and you have not heard Shane Andrews on the microphone before at other tracks on a regular basis, you're in for a treat. I say because he's a great guy. Had a chance to work with him, another great guy in Jimmy King. I say that straight from the heart. He's one of the best out there. And you folks at Canandaigua will have a very enjoyable season with Shane Andrews at the mic.
And even if you're not a fan of Canandaigua, come out to Canandaigua anyways. We've got some great shows, and we kick it off April 7th with the Jan Corcoran Memorial 64 laps of the Big Block Modified. And you talk, and Sean, you talk about really having to earn your keep the first night. I've got to do the series, plus I've got all the other divisions. What a way to get indoctrinated on my first night, but I'm excited. I can't wait. Let's go racing.
Hey, it's always the best to be thrown right into the lion's den and find out if you can handle it or not. That's how it works sometimes in this business. Shane Andrews, the voice of the Canandaigua Motorsports Park, the Super Dirt Car Series, and also Speed Television personality joining us here on This Week in Modified Country. Thanks, Shane. Look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Sean, thanks for having me, man, and I'll see you down the road.
We'll take a break and be back with more of the show right after this. At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro-sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodandsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Welcome back to This Week in Modified Country, everybody. Special thanks to our guest, Shane Andrews, for joining us here on the show. And don't forget to type in This Week in Modified Country in your search box on Facebook and like us on our Facebook page. We'll have lots more coming up next week, plus more shows lined up for you for special events throughout the season from This Week in Modified Country. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.